Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So we'd like to speak a little something for the next few days about Srimad Bhagavatam. We have a number of questions we'd like to try to answer in the next few days. The first is, what is so special about Srimad Bhagavatam? Why are we having classes in this book every day? Why don't we have classes on Manusamhita or Rig Veda? Another question is, how should we hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Who is a proper listener? Who is a proper speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam? Why did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu place so much stress on Srimad Bhagavatam? And a very special topic that I hope I can get to, that I'd like to express just for you. What is the connection between Srimad Bhagavatam and Gaura Lila? What is the connection between Srimad Bhagavatam, Gaura Lila, and Jagannath Puri? And we can say then, what is the connection between Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Gaura Lila, and this temple in Netto Petros? We hope we can get to this point, a very big subject. So we can touch very briefly on something which we'll more elaborately get into maybe tomorrow. Jala Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavarastani. To understand Srimad Bhagavatam, it's required that you hear from a devotee. So we may not be a qualified speaker of the Bhagavatam, but our qualification is that we simply repeat what we've heard. So I have no qualification to speak on the Bhagavatam. But I've heard something from my revered spiritual master, and he gave me instruction. He said that if someone asks you to speak, you must. But you should just repeat what you've heard from your guru and the previous acharyas, and don't think it belongs to you. Hearing from my revered spiritual master, the Bhagavatam, was an experience I had never experienced before. When he spoke, we felt like someone had opened a window to the spiritual world and we were sitting in front of it and the sunshine was falling down on us.
Когда он говорил, нам казалось, что он открывает
Once he was speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam in Bali, Indonesia, and I happened to be present. And he spoke for something like 3 days on one verse. And then he started pointing the wall. He said, "See, Krishna's laughing at me." Devotees were turning and looking, but they didn't see anything. He said, "Krishna's laughing at me because I'm trying to explain something which is unlimited." So trying to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam is something which can only happen by the mercy of Sadhu Guru. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the special quality of it in comparison to other Vedic literatures? These are some of the topics we'd like to try to cover today. My revered spiritual master told a story in this regard, which is a well-known story in some of the sacred places in India. He said that Srimati Radharani had a parrot. And this parrot, she trained to chant Krishna's name. And she would keep that parrot on her left hand, and when the parrot would, she would say, "Krishna, Krishna," Radharani would. And then when the parrot would repeat, "Krishna, Krishna," Radharani would be very pleased, and she'd give him some pomegranate seeds. He was a very happy parrot. So when Radha and Krishna finished their manifest pastimes in this world, they told that parrot that you stay behind. They instructed that parrot that he should speak the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The qualification of a speaker is that they like to hear. There is a subtle connection between Shravana and Kirtan. My spiritual master used to say that Kirtan is another name for Shravana. Speaking is another name for hearing. So that bird, that parrot, its qualification was that he liked to hear. And someone told him that in Bhubaneswar, in Orissa, Lord Shiva was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife Parvati. One of the old names of Bhubaneswar is a Kamrakanam, which means the place of one mango tree. And it said that previously there was one giant mango tree that was there. And Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati was sitting under that tree, and he was speaking the Bhagavatam, and she was listening. Now, Parvati Devi, she had taken some classes in the university in active listening. So as she was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, She was saying, So that parrot, Srimati Radharani, came to that place and saw, oh, very nice Krishna katha going on. That parrot flew into the branches of that tree. And he was listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the tree was very green and the parrot was also green, you couldn't see him. As Parvati was listening, something happened to her. She started getting very tired. And she fell asleep. We often mention in this regard that when we do archan, when we worship the deity, there are mantras that we use to wake the deity and mantras we use to put the deity to sleep. We recite Utistatista Sri Guru Tyajanidram Kripamaya, prayers to wake the spiritual master and the deity. And there are also mantras to put the deity to sleep. Agacha Shayana Stanam Swapayai Sahasri Guru, like this. So we've ascertained through a scientific social study in ISKCON. So just as there are mantras to put the deities to sleep and wake the deities, we found in our social survey that there are also mantras which will wake the devotees up and mantras which will put the devotees to sleep. This is a very interesting experiment. What is a mantra to put devotees to sleep? Brace yourself so you don't fall asleep. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Babuji managed to stay awake. Good. Bhadinarayan Prabhu, he said that once Srila Prabhupada was giving class in Detroit, in America. And as he was speaking, every single devotee in the room fell asleep. And Prabhupada, he told his servant who managed to stay awake, he said, see, the Srimad Bhagavatam is for advanced devotees. This is the social history of ISKCON. We've also heard that in Los Angeles once there was one devotee giving class and everyone in the class fell asleep. And then the speaker also fell asleep. So very powerful. So this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, very powerful. It can put people to sleep. And just as there's a mantra for putting the devotees to sleep, there's also a mantra for waking them up. Mahaprasari Govinde. Everybody becomes. So Lord Shiva, he had spoken this first mantra and Parvati had fallen asleep. Lord Shiva didn't notice that she was asleep. He kept speaking the Bhagavatam. And then after a little while, he noticed that Parvati was asleep.
И через время он заметил, что она спит.
But Shiva hadn't noticed for a while because the sound she was making was still coming. The Lord Shiva was looking around, who's making that sound? And then in the branches of the tree he saw a parrot. And that parrot was smiling very big. He was making that sound. Because he was very eager to hear the Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Paramahamsa Samhita. It's a literature for topmost persons. When Lord Shiva saw this bird was listening, but who is he? He didn't know if the bird had gone through the Bhakta program of Netro Petros. If he had a Bhakti Shastri degree in Mayapur or not. So he became very angry. This is a very confidential literature. Who are you? He picked up his trishul, his trident, and began chasing that bird. That bird began flying away. But not because he's afraid. Therefore we recite every day before we speak on the Bhagavatam, we recite one verse from the first canto. Yasyam vai shriyamanayam krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir udpadyate pumsa shoka moha bhayapaha. This verse describes an internal benefit from hearing the Bhagavatam and an external benefit. There are three external benefits mentioned. And one internal benefit. Shoka, moha, vayapaha. These are the three external benefits. If you hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, then you'll have no fear, no illusion, no fear, no lamentation. So that bird had been hearing the Bhagavatam, he wasn't afraid. What is the internal benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Krishna Parama Purushe Bhakti Udpadyate. That it gives Krishna prema. So that bird flew away not because he was afraid of Lord Shiva, but because the Bhagavatam class was over. And he wanted to hear more Bhagavatam somewhere else. So that bird had heard that in the Himalayas, Srila Vyasadeva was speaking the Bhagavatam to his wife. So he went to that place and he found there, sure enough, Srila Vyasadeva speaking the Bhagavatam. His wife, when she was listening, she was very astonished to hear the Bhagavatam. She was listening like this. With an open mouth. So that bird was running from Lord Shiva. When he arrived there and he saw Vyasadeva's wife with her mouth open like that,
Mm-hmm.
That bird entered into the mouth of Vyasadeva's wife and entered her womb and became known as her child. In Sanskrit, the word parrot is shuka. The Bhagavatam begins by stating Sri Shukuvacha. The blessed Sukadeva Goswami said, but the same words have another meaning. Sri means Sarva Angsini Radhika, Srimati Radharani, who is the source of all the Lakshmis. And Shuk means parrot. So it also means the blessed parrot of Srimati Radharani spoke. And therefore, Lord Shiva, he's given a verse which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Aham vedmi shukavedi vyasavedi navedi va bhakti upajite pumsha bhakti bhagavatam grayam na buddhaya na chitikaya. He said that I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Aham vedmi. Shukavedi. Shukadeva Goswami also understands Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he says something very interesting. Vyasa Vedi Na Vedi Va. Whether Vyasa understands or not, I can't say. What does it mean? There's a general meaning and a more confidential meaning. One meaning is that Srimad Bhagavatam is such an elevated literature that even Vyasadeva may not understand it. And the inner meaning is that Shiva says, I understand the Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami understands because he heard from me. Whether Vyasa understands or not, I can't say, he didn't hear from me. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has a very unique place in Vedic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is described as the Amala Purana, or the spotless Purana. It's Vaishnavanam Priyam. It's very, very dear to the devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam is described in many places as being the Vani incarnation of Krishna. It's described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Krishna sva dhamapagate dharma genadibi saha kalo nascha visam esha puranarko dunoditaha. That this Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun. After Krishna left this world, when he left, dharma genadibi saha, he took with him dharma and knowledge. At that time, everything became dark. But Krishna then appeared as Srimad Bhagavatam, and through this Bhagavatam, he's illuminated this world. Therefore, it's described that Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloki Prati Akshananatakoi. That the Bhagavatam, just as Krishna's Vibhu, the Supreme Lord, the Srimad Bhagavatam is also the Supreme Lord.
Говорится, что так же, как Господь Вибху, Верховный Господь, так и Шримад
And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. That the Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the incarnations of the Lord. In this material world, there are four manifestations of Krishna. Bhagavat, the Tulsi, Ganga, and the devotee. These are the four manifestations of Krishna in this world. The Srimad Bhagavatam is an incarnation of Krishna. Tulsi is also considered to be a manifestation of Krishna. The Ganga is described to be the liquid form of the Lord in Kali Yuga. And the Bhaktiya, the devotee, is also a manifestation of the Lord. So, we worship the Lord in these four manifestations. The Padma Purana describes. Pado yadi yo patamad viti yo chitiyatur yo katito yad uru nabhistata panchama eva sasto bhujantaram dhur yugalam tatanyo kantastu rajan navamo yadi yo mukadavindam dasamam prafulam ikadaso yasya lalapta patam shiro pitu dyadasa eva bhati tam adi devam karunanidhanam tamalavarnam suitavataram apara samsara samudra setum Bajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam. Very beautiful poetry. It describes that the Bhagavatam is a form of Krishna's body. Pado yadiyo patamaditiyo. The first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam are Krishna's feet. Chitiya turyo katito yaruru. The third and fourth cantos are his thighs. Navistata panchama eva shastra. The fifth canto is his navel. And bhunjantaram dhur yugalam tatanyo. The sixth canto is his chest. The seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. Kantastu rajan navamo yadiyo. The ninth canto is his throat. Mukaravindam dasamam prafulam. And the tenth canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is his blooming, smiling face. Ekadaso yasya lalapta patam. The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam is his forehead. And shiro pitu dvadasa eva bhati. The 12th canto is the Lord's head. So in the Padma Purana it's described that tam adi devam karunam nidanam. I offer my obeisances to this Lord.
Padma Purana говорит, я предлагаю поклоны этому Господу.
He's Karuna Nidhanam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the ocean of mercy. He's none different from Krishna, who's Tamalavarnam Suhitavataram, who has a blackish complexion like a tamal tree. And a Pada Samsara Samudra Setum, he's the bridge by which we cross this ocean of material existence. Bhajamahe Bhagavata Sarupam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the very personification of the Lord Self. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified throughout the Vedic literatures. Many questions may come, why do we place so much stress on this book? What is the most confidential topic, the highest topic in Gaudiya Vaishnavism? Can someone tell me? It's not vegetarianism. Who is God? That's okay. God is Brahman. That's a very basic subject matter. If you don't know the answer to this question, then maybe you're not really Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What is it? It's not a trick question, it's a very simple question. What is the topmost thing for Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Who is the topmost personality for Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Srimati Radharani. Very simple question Prabhu ji knows, because he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava. But you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't have Srimati Radharani's name anywhere in it. But the Brahma Vaivarta Purana has so many stories about Srimati Radharani. And the Padma Purana also speaks so many things. There's a story about Radharani's birth and her activities. So then why do we say this Purana is the topmost Purana? Can someone tell me? Should we just start reading Brahma Vivarta Purana tomorrow instead? We should know the answer to this question. If you go to India, someone may challenge you. Why do you say that Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana? The Brahma Vivarta Purana describes that there are three divisions of Puranas. Vaishnavam naradiyam cha tata bhagavatam shubham garudam cha tata padman varaham shubha shubha darshane satvikani puranani vigyayani manishibihi brahmandam brahmavartatam markandeyam tataiva cha bhavishyam vamanam brahmam rajasani nibodhata Matsyam kormam tatalangam shaivam skandam tataiva cha agnayancha sudetani tamasani nibotata. That the great sages have determined that there are three divisions of the main 18 Puranas. There are some Puranas which are in the mode of goodness, some in the mode of passion, and some in the mode of ignorance. the Vishnu Purana, the Naradiya Purana, the Bhagavatam are considered to be in the mode of goodness. What are the other three Puranas? Can someone say that are in the mode of goodness? The Vishnu, the Bhagavatam, and the Garuda Purana in the mode of goodness. There's three other Puranas in the mode of goodness.
Vishnu, Bhagavatam, Garuda Purana, Guna Bhagavatam.
Padma Purana, very good. So, that's four. Does anybody know another one? The Bhavishya Purana, no. The Varaha Purana, yes, the Varaha Purana. That's the fifth one. The Varaha Purana gives a nice description about Vrindavan. So what's the last of these then? It's Vishnu, Narada, Bhagavat, Garuda, Padma, and Varaha. The Garuda Purana is the sixth one. These are all in the considered in the mode of goodness. There's six Puranas in the mode of passion. Does anybody know what those are? What's one of the Puranas in the mode of passion? The Brahma Vivarta Purana. This verse appears in the Brahma Vivarta Purana. Yes, we're a Purana in the mode of passion. It says about itself. The Brahmanda Purana, the Markandeya Purana, Bhavishya Purana, Vamana Purana, and Brahma Purana. These are all Puranas in the mode of passion. Does anyone know any of the Puranas in the mode of ignorance? What? Skanda Purana, very good. That's one of the mode of ignorance. Another one? The Shiva Purana is another one. The Vayu Purana. The Vayu Purana is a Upa Purana. It's another subject. There's 18 major Puranas. And then there's also 18 Upa Puranas. These mean similar Puranas or Puranas which are subordinate Puranas. And then aside from those Upa Puranas is also different Stala Puranas. Like the Lakshmi Purana in Jagannath Puri, that's a Stala Purana. So the six Puranas in the mode of ignorance are Skanda, Linga, Shiva, Matsya, and Agni Puranas. These different Puranas serve different purposes. Jiva Goswami, he describes this in Tattva Sandarbha, that the Puranas and the different Vedic literatures, they have certain purposes. Rigyaju samatarvancha bharatam pancharatrakam mula ramayana chaiva shastramitya vidiyate yachanjakulamityasya tatcha shastram pakirtitam atunya grantavishtaro naiva shastram kravatmatat. He says that the Puranas in the mode of goodness, they're considered to be in the mode of goodness because they glorify Krishna. The Puranas in the mode of passion, they glorify Lord Brahma. And the Puranas in the mode of ignorance glorify Lord Shiva, Agni, and Durga. So, the purpose of these different Puranas is to give some faith to the followers of them. Jiva Goswami, he quotes Padma Purana in this regard. Vimohaya characharasya jagataste te pranagamas tam tam eva hi deva tam paramakim jalapantu kalpavadi Siddhanti Puna Eka Eva Bhagavan Vishnu Samastagama Vyapareshu vivichena vyatikaram niteshu nishchiyate. In all these different Vedic literatures and Puranas, there are different devatas who are spoken of as being the most important. He says, but the purpose of these things, vyamohaya charat charasya jagatas, is to bewilder all the moving and non-moving living entities in the universe. That's the purpose of these literatures. The purpose is to bring them to something a little bit higher. When a child enters school, he begins to study mathematics maybe in the first grade. And in the first grade, the teacher may tell the students that you cannot subtract a bigger number from a smaller number. Because those students, they can't understand negative numbers. And then later on, as the students become a little more educated, then in second or third grade, the teacher tells them about negative numbers. So similarly, Krishna is very, very merciful, and he comes in the form of the Vedic literatures. Because he wants to help everyone. But these different Vedic literatures, they describe different subject matters. The beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam alludes to this fact. Dharma projita kaitavotra taparamo nimatsranam satam vedyam. That the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very beginning, it describes, it kicks out all types of cheating religion. What is cheating religion? Kaitava chatushtoy. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says there's four types of cheating religion. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. These are four types of cheating religion. In comparison to panchama purushartha, the fifth and highest goal, the real goal. Which is prema, pumartha, mohan, Krishna prema. So these four different divisions of cheating religion have four different divisions of Vedic literatures. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. There's dharma shastras. There's artha shastras. There's kama shastras, very popular. And there's moksha shastras. So the dharma shastras are shastras like the Manu Sanhita. And Vishnu Smriti. And they tell you how to behave. How you should respect your mother. How ladies should behave. How brahmacharis should behave. What are the duties for sannyasis? What are the duties for grihastha? How should you run your household? What should be done if someone doesn't pay their debt? What should be done if someone breaks the law? These are dharma shastras. Then there's also artha shastras. Artha shastras describe how you can make money, how you should survive. Some people, they study Kautilya Arthashastra, this book written by Chanakya Pandit. And it tells you how to maintain yourself, how to make a living. And how the sudras are supposed to make a living. How the Vaishyas and how the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins, how they're supposed to maintain themselves. These are Arthashastras. And then there are Kama Shastras. Scriptures about sex life. This Kama Sutra is a very well-known book. If you go to any bookstore in India, they have practically one whole shelf just of Kama Sutras. They have 50 different Kama Sutras. Most popular book. But you'll be interested to know that practically none of those people understand Kama Sutra. First of all, the sage Vatsyayana, who wrote that Kama Sutra, he was a brahmachari. He was a celibate person. And he describes in that Kama Sutra, the purpose of this is to discourage people from sex life. But there was some need to describe what is proper sex life. And there's some small section of that book which describes about different ways people engage in that sex life. But the book also describes what are the qualities of a good wife. How should a proper husband behave? How should they meet each other? How should they go about with coming together? This is Kama Shastra. There's a scripture describing this. And then there's another category of Vedic literature called Moksha Shastra, or Shastras which are meant for liberation. Those Moksha Shastras include the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes there's a gradation of these literatures. Higher than the Dharma Shastras are the Artha Shastras. And the highest of all are the Moksha Shastras. But higher than the Moksha Shastras are the Bhakti Shastras. Because all these other literatures, they're giving something which is just cheating. You may follow these principles of Manasamhita, you may follow the principles given in the Dharma Shastras or the Moksha Shastras, but you're not going to get the ultimate goal of life. So the real goal of all the Vedic literatures is to understand Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is described. Veda Shastri Kohe Sambandha Adi Deya Prayojana. In the Vedic literature, we can divide the Vedic literatures into three divisions, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means relationship. Abhideya means activity. And Prayojana means a goal. These are not stages. Sometimes people think that first is Sambandha, then Abhideya, then Prayojana. No. In the very beginning, you have to understand the Prayojana, the goal. And your sambandha, your relationship with Krishna is there from the very beginning to the very end. Some of the abhideya, the activity that you do to awaken your relationship with Krishna, that's also there from the beginning to the end. So he says that throughout the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, Krishna is the subject matter. He says that Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, Prema, these three things, Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, and Prema, these are the greatest riches of life. Therefore, he says that Krishna is the only goal of the Vedas. Mukhya Gona Britti, whether you take the Mukhya, the primary meaning of the Vedas, whether you take the Gona Britti, the secondary meaning, Angaya Vyatireka, Angaya Vyatireka Bhyam Yatshat Sarvatra Sarvada, the Bhagavatam describes, directly or indirectly, they're all describing Krishna. Vedera Pratigya Kevala Kahaye Krishna Ke. The ultimate declaration of the Vedas, the only thing the Vedas speak about ultimately is Krishna. And therefore, we describe Devi Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Cha Madhye Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. And all the Vedic literature in the Ramayana and the Puranas and the Mahabharata, Adavante cha madhye cha, from the beginning to the middle to the end, the only subject matter is Krishna. But the problem is these other Vedic literatures, they don't give Krishna directly. Even though the Brahma Vaivarta Purana and the Padma Purana directly speak about Srimati Radharani, they don't directly speak about the glories of Krishna Bhakti. Therefore, they're less than the Srimad Bhagavatam. Less than the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's some fault in them. Even if you read through the Padma Purana, I've read through the Padma Purana. Padma Purana is a Purana in the mode of goodness. And there are many nice descriptions given about Krishna in the Padma Purana, in the holy name. But there are also descriptions given of the glories of Lord Ganesh. And how to make yantras and do different pujas for different purposes. How you can get money. We have to understand what is the purpose of the Vedic literatures. It's not that they're just there for our entertainment. I like the Mahabharata. Lots of good fighting, action. The purpose of the Mahabharata is not for our entertainment. Nor is the purpose of these literatures for us to get some information. One person was writing recently, I saw on the internet, saying, you should hear my lectures, the masters of bhakti. I felt very disturbed to see that. Because Bhakti Devi is Srimati Radharani. There's only one master of Srimati Radharani. And it's not you. It's Krishna. Huh? So this Bhagavatam, these Vedic literatures, they're not meant to master. Mataji went to the university and you mastered some English literature. Yes? And you take some tests. How much have you memorized this? How well do you know this thing? And they'll consider you're the master of this literature. But Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarva Shroy, the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. We don't master this literature. We have to serve this literature. And we'll speak something more about that in the next few days. How we approach the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we're just trying to get some understanding about the purpose of the different Vedic literatures. Krishna is so kind, he wants to help everyone. Just like when we have a discussion with someone, have you ever had a talk with someone and they're not interested in anything that you have to say? They're only interested in talking about themselves. That's called jalpa katha. That's a discussion in the mode of passion. You can't tell them what you did on your vacation. You can't tell them about Srimad Bhagavatam. The only thing they want to talk about is themselves. So there's some Vedic literatures for them. Such as the Markandeya Purana. Or such as the Kama Shastra. The people who are very, very passionate. And these literatures, they prescribe that if you want to get a good wife, this is also mentioned in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. If you want a good wife and you worship Durga Devi, if you want a good husband, who do you worship? You worship Lord Shiva. But how is Lord Shiva a good husband? I could never understand that. He doesn't have a job. No bank account. No house. He lives under a tree. And he doesn't even have any clothes to wear. He's just a naked fellow. And he has bones from dead people and skulls around his neck. How is he a good husband? Can anyone say? Mataji. Because he's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, because he's a devotee of Krishna. So this is some lesson there. In India, even today, many ladies, they worship Lord Shiva for a good husband. But they're thinking that a good husband means someone who has an Oxford degree. Or someone who's very, very rich. But actually, a good husband is someone who's a devotee. So certain literatures like the Linga Purana, Skanda Purana, they recommend that ladies, they worship Lord Shiva to get a good husband. Their purpose in reading that literature is not to understand what is the absolute truth. Their purpose is to get a husband. So people say, hey, there's a book, there's a good book. You read this book and it'll tell you how you can do that.
Oh.
So then they start worshipping Lord Shiva. And there's some prescription given how you should worship these different devatas. You should be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So follow four regulated principles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can please them. So by doing that, they become a little purified. And also, they become a little bit humble. Because they realize there's someone bigger than them. I want to worship Lord Shiva. And those literatures, they'll describe that Lord Shiva is supreme. The Linga Purana is a bona fide Purana. It's one of the 18 Mahapuranas, or most important Puranas. And it's quoted sometimes by our Acharyas. But you'll be interested to know that Linga Purana, it states that Lord Vishnu doesn't exist. Krishna doesn't exist. The Linga Purana says that Lord Vishnu is just a dream of Lord Shiva. So it's meant for people in the mode of ignorance. And that literature is composed in such a way to help them. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shraya chittam icchati tasya tasya chalam shradham tam eva vidadamyaham. He says that I am in everyone's heart as a super soul. And as soon as someone wants to worship some demigod, then I give them some intelligence to do that. And I give them some faith so they can do that. In the Shiva Purana, there's a similar story. It said that once Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma were having an argument, who was the greatest? And suddenly they saw this great pillar, this great linga. So they decided whoever can get to the top of this thing first, then they'll be the greatest. And it said they were going and going and going for millions of years, and they never came to the top. And finally they were defeated by that column. And then Lord Shiva appeared before them. He said, this column is me. Competing to see who is the best. So people who are in the mode of ignorance, who want to get something in this world, they want a good wife, a good husband, they'll read this Linga Purana, the Shiva Purana. And they'll see all these Puranas say that you should worship Lord Shiva, you should worship Durga. And those Puranas speak in such a way to give them faith. Sometimes people tell the child that your daddy, he's the best daddy in the whole world. This is a popular thing all over the world that they tell to low-class people. If you live in Chicago, in America, and they tell you that the Chicago Bulls, the basketball team, they're the best basketball team in the world. Why are they the best? Because they belong to my town? And I think Metro Petros must also have some team like that. Yes? And it's the best team because it's our team. And sometimes even in ISKCON we also do this. ISKCON is the best. Why? Because I'm in it. It must be. That's not a very good understanding. We say that ISKCON is the best because it's the Seva Sangha of my Gurudev and my Param Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. So someone who is in the mode of ignorance like that, and they begin reading Linga Purana, Skanda Purana, they'll come to a higher platform. They'll become purified because to worship Lord Shiva you should behave following different principles. And then after they're a little more purified, they may be interested to read other Vedic literatures. You know, you're reading this Purana in the mode of ignorance, but also in the Brahmavivarta Purana, there are many stories about Lord Shiva. And the person, because he likes Lord Shiva, oh, I want to read that then. But in the Brahmavivarta Purana, it describes again and again that Lord Shiva is a servant of Krishna. But he's also glorified. And the Brahmavivarta Purana also gives you many benedictions. You can get lots of money and beautiful women and this and that. But they come to a higher understanding that Krishna, Lord Vishnu, he's God, he's the big boss. And then, if they become a little more purified, then they may come to the Puranas in a mode of goodness. Which begin to directly glorify Krishna in a higher way. And the crest jewel of all those Puranas is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, sometimes Srimad Bhagavatam is not included in the list of 18 Mahapuranas because it's considered to be greater than all the other Puranas. Many of the Puranas have glorifications of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Matsya Purana, the Garuda Purana, the Padma Purana, the Skanda Purana all have sections glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. So this gradation is there to help everyone. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is a Paramahamsa Sanhita. It's the book for the topmost persons. Because not everyone can understand it. In this regard, a question may come then why do we emphasize the Srimad Bhagavatam and not other literatures? This subject is addressed in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, where it's described that Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled all the different Vedic literatures. But even after compiling all those literatures, he still didn't feel satisfied. There's something more, but I just didn't feel very happy. So at that time, Krishna sent Guru to him. When we cry to Krishna, then Krishna appears before us in the form of Guru. So Krishna appeared before Śrīla Vyāsadeva in the form of Narad Muni. And when Vyāsadeva saw Narad Muni, he said, "Oh Guru Maharaj, please accept my obeisances." Narad Muni said, "Vyas, you look very unhappy. What's wrong?" Vyasadeva said, "I don't know. I did everything you said. I wrote the Rig Yaja, Atharva, Samaveda, all the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, but I'm not feeling happy." Because he was giving moksha brahma jnana as the topmost thing. An impersonal understanding of the Lord. And therefore he wasn't satisfied. Even though he'd compiled the
Mahabharata.
The Mahabharata describes the pastimes of Krishna. He wasn't feeling completely satisfied. How is that? The Mahabharata has the Bhagavad Gita in it. Bhagavad Gita is a very important literature. What is the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita? In the Ramanuja Sampradaya, they call it the Charama Shloka, the most important shloka. Does anybody know? That's very good. Sarva Dharman Parityagya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. You know this verse? You may be interested to know that in the Ramananda Samvada, the 8th chapter of Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramananda Roy recommended this verse as the topmost thing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time he said, "Eho bhaya, agi kaha ar." This is okay, but this is a little external. Can you say something better? But we're always taught that this verse is the topmost verse. If you study Śrīla Prabhupāda and Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta's commentary on this, you'll understand. Therein, they say that because there was no positive information given about Krishna and who he is, therefore it's external. To help us understand Bhagavad Gita, we need Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is this Krishna who is being glorified in Bhagavad Gita? What does he look like? What does he do? Who are his associates? Where does he live? How do I approach him? These subject matters are found in Srimad Bhagavatam. And having an understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can say something about Bhagavad Gita. If you understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we say, yes, Sarva Dharman Parityagya.
Mm-hmm.
So because he hadn't directly spoken about Krishna, Vyasadeva wasn't feeling satisfied. So then Narad Muni, he looked both ways and he said, come here. I'll tell you something better. And he described Srimad Bhagavatam. Tani Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye, that Srimad Bhagavatam was originally spoken by the Lord to Brahma. And then Brahma, he spoke that Srimad Bhagavatam to Narad Muni. And then Narad Muni spoke it to Vyasadeva. And when Vyasadeva got that, he said, oh, this is very good. This is very satisfying. But immediately he saw there was one problem. We have the BBT and we print the Bhagavatam, but that's not enough. You need a book distributor. So Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavatam, but there was no book distributor. Who's going to distribute that Bhagavatam? Who's going to sell books in Netropetra? It requires someone who knows the people. If I go and I try to speak to them, what can I tell them? But you can speak to them. So Vyasadeva saw that this is a problem. I've been speaking all of this moksha brahma gyan and everybody's believing it. So now if I go now and tell them about Srimad Bhagavatam, they won't listen to me. A similar example is there in Gaura Lila, Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, he was speaking this Yoga Vishishta philosophy to his sons. And some of those sons were rascals. And why were they rascals? Because they believed what they heard from their father. He spoke that Yoga Vishishta, and then later on he said, actually, this is all nonsense and you should know about bhakti. But out of all of them, only Achyutananda, his eldest son, only Achyutananda accepted what he said. So the other ones became asar, those other sons, they became useless. So Vyasadeva was thinking, who's going to preach the Srimad Bhagavatam? It has to be someone who whose Brahma Gyan, whose knowledge of Brahman is unquestionable and everybody respects very much. So Srila Vyasadeva thought there's only one person who can do that. That's my son, Sukadeva Goswami. Sometimes the Matajis, they complain, it's very difficult to be pregnant, to have a baby. But Sukadeva Goswami's mother carried the baby for 16 years. He didn't want to come out of the womb. So finally Krishna had to come and tell him, look, it's okay, you won't get captured by Maya when you come out. You'll be a liberated soul. So Sukadeva Goswami was born 16 years old. He came out of the womb a full-sized boy and immediately he ran away from home. He said, "Mom, Dad, you guys are in Maya. Forget it, I'm leaving." And Vyasadeva went running after him. As he was going, he saw some ladies who were bathing without any clothes on. Sukadeva Goswami had just passed by there. And those ladies didn't even notice when he came by. He was a naked 16-year-old boy and came running by. They didn't notice. And then Vyasadeva came. He's dressed in a dhoti and uttariya cloth on his top and things. And those ladies, when they saw him, they became very shy and they covered themselves. Vyasadeva asked them, "Why are you covering yourself when you see me, but you didn't cover yourself when you saw my son?" They said, "Because we didn't feel anything from him. He doesn't see any difference between our bodies and the bodies of the trees. But you see some difference." So everyone knew this. Everyone knew that Sukadeva Goswami, he was a great Brahmagyani, great persons realized in Brahman. So Vyasadeva decided, we have to get him. He has to be our book distributor. People will listen to him, they won't listen to me. But how can I get him to come home? He thinks I'm in Maya. My wife is in Maya because you're householders. Sometimes our brahmacharis also think like that. Sukadeva Goswami is the original brahmachari. So Vyasadeva, then he called for a woodsman, a person whose business was to cut down the trees in the forest. That woodsman came and said, "Yes, what can I do?" And Vyasadeva told him, "I want to teach you a song. And you memorize this song, and wherever you go in the forest, you should sing this song." What is that song? Nipritithaarshaya rupa giyamanad bhavosadas chotra manho birhamad ka utama shloka gunanavadat puman virajeta bina pashugnat. This is a verse from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It describes that who won't appreciate hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? Even someone who's a Nibritithaarshaya, a liberated soul, he'll also want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. The only person who won't want to hear Puman Virajeta Bina Pashugnat is someone who's Pashugnat, a butcher, or someone who's killing himself. So that woodsman, he said, "Yes, boss." And wherever he was going in the forest, he was going around. Nipritithaarshaya rupa giyamanat bhavo sadas chotra manho birama. Singing this verse. Sukadeva Goswami was staying there in the forest. And he was very carefully staying away from everyone. Because he was worried, if I start talking to people, then maybe someone's going to want to get me married. They're going to want to give me a job. Are they going to start saying something bad about someone, speaking some mundane topics? And I may become bewildered by Maya. So whenever anyone came to the forest, Sukadev, as soon as he would hear them, he'd go away from them and hide. But one day he heard this nice song. Nibritithai shaya rupa giyamana bhavo sadash chotra nano biramat. What is this thing he's saying? What is this Srimad Bhagavatam that even a liberated soul would want to hear? I'm a liberated soul. I don't know about this Bhagavatam. And it's saying that Puman Virajeta Binapashubnath, that who wouldn't want to hear it? Only a butcher. I'm not a butcher. So he went to that woodsman. He said, what did you say? And that woodsman said, Nibriti tarsaya rupa giyamahat bhavosadach chota manobiramat. Those persons who have their thirst satisfied, they sing this song. Because bhavosadach, it's the medicine for birth and death. And shocha manobiramat, it's always pleasing to the senses. Those senses, they're not our enemies. They should be used. So this song is very sweet for all the senses. Shocha manobiramat ka uttama shloka gunanavadat puman virajeta binapashugan. Who but someone who wants to commit suicide wouldn't appreciate it? Sukadeva Goswami is looking at him. He's a woodsman, someone with an axe. Where did you learn this? I learned this song in Bhadrak Ashram. Can you take me there? Da? Good translation. So then that woodsman, he took Sukadev Goswami to Vyasa's ashram. And Sukadev Goswami saw, oh, this is my father's home. My father wanted me to stay with him, but I didn't care about that. And I ran away to the forest to be a brahmachari, to stay away from society. But if I want to get the solution, the answer, the mystery behind this verse, I'm going to have to hear from him. So then he went and asked his father about the meaning of this verse. And then Srila Vyasadeva began to explain Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami. And then Sukadeva Goswami, he became a changed person. After getting some knowledge of the personality of Krishna. And he became the best book distributor then. Because all these people, they didn't have faith in Krishna as a person. They only had faith in Brahman. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangshati samasarveshu-bhuteshu. And he saw Sukadev Goswami, he's samasarveshu-bhuteshu, he's on the Brahman platform. But he appreciates Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has a very, very special place in Vedic literature. And therefore we address it, we say, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. It's the Grantaraj, the king of all literatures. And that's proven by this pastime of Sukadeva Goswami. He was learned in all the Vedic literatures. But he gave up all those conceptions and came to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from a person. We understand this point from the picture we see inside of the Bhagavatam cover. You see this little naked 16-year-old boy, Sukadeva Goswami. He's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. The person is listening is Maharaj Parikshit. And sitting next to Maharaj Parikshit on the ground, we see Srila Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami's father, and Narad Muni, the guru of Vyasadeva. They're both so very senior to Sukadeva Goswami. Just from this picture, we can understand that this book is something different. If someone is going to speak Manu Sanhita, the speaker of Manu Sanhita is not going to be a child speaking to his father and his father's guru. Because the Manu Sanhita recommends a certain system of respect. A system of respect that's based on age. It's described in Manu Sanhita. Vittam bhandur vaya karma vidya bhavati panchami etani manasthanani gadiyo yad yaduttaram. There's five different reasons to offer respect. Wealth, relatives, age, performance of religious observances, and sacred knowledge. And sacred knowledge here means Brahmagyan. Each one of these is considered more important than the other. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not advocating seniority by age. Simply by the picture in the front of Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that something more important is given. And that's bhakti. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is that book which is an incarnation of Krishna. And in specifics, it's described that the Srimad Bhagavatam is Prema Maya Bhagavata. It's simply full of Krishna Prema. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, and it shows us the way to get Krishna. So it's the topmost Vedic literature, and we want to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. So I'm going to stop here, and we can take some questions. But First, I'd also like to say something about what we're going to speak about in the next few days. Because I'd prefer not to answer questions on those topics right now. Answer questions on these topics we're going to speak about the next few days. What is the difference between reading and hearing? Is there a difference? Can we understand Srimad Bhagavatam just by reading it? And what about reading Prabhupada's books? So this is a question we want to address tomorrow. What are the qualifications of listening? Why is it that some people, two people listen, but one person may get Krishna prema and the other person doesn't get? What are the qualifications of a listener, Srimad Bhagavatam? So we'd like to speak of some of these things tomorrow. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he speaks about Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Krishna
prema.
Krishna rasriyanga, it's the body of Krishna. Tahate kohena jata gopya Krishna ranga, it describes Krishna's very confidential pastimes. So it's the king of literatures. This literature, this Srimad Bhagavatam, is the essence of our Hare Krishna movement. The two things in our movement which are very important: chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And also I think maybe tomorrow we'll say something about why those two things go together.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stop here. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shiva Bhagavata ki Gopremanande Hari Hari Go Vancha Kalpatarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So are there any questions or comments from anyone?
Yes, vaprosy.
Srimad Krishna Guru, do you want to add anything?
Что изначально Шримад Бхагаватам был поведан в четырех стихах Брахмы.
Originally Шримад Бхагаватам was given to Brahma in four verses.
Но я также слышал, что это еще обширный Бхагаватам, даже больше то, что мы сейчас читаем.
But I also heard that the Bhagavatam exists even as a more voluminous in a bigger size than what we have.
So the question really comes, what is the Srimad Bhagavatam? In the Skanda Purana, it said that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Lord Narayan to Lakshmi Devi.
Mm-hmm.
It's also sometimes spoken by Shiva to Parvati. And sometimes Parvati speaks to the Lord Shiva. Or Lakshmi Devi speaks to the Lord Narayan. It doesn't. It's not that only men can speak on the Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada also had ladies speaking on the Bhagavatam. So Maitreya Muni also spoke the Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
Sukadeva Goswami also spoke the Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit. And there's another book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, wherein Maharaj Parikshit speaks Srimad Bhagavatam to his mother, Uttara. So, but all those books are different. What then is the Bhagavatam? I would suggest, as near as I understand, that when we say the Bhagavatam, it doesn't necessarily mean only particular certain concrete verses. But it refers to topics about Krishna which are based upon pure love. Just like in Orissa, in the medium of art known as Pattachitra art. There are different divisions of Pattachitra art, different types of paintings. And one of the styles of Pattachitra, one of the types of paintings, is called Raslila. But Raslila is not just a painting of the Raslila. Raslila means any paintings of Krishna and the gopis together. So it seems that in a broad sense, Srimad Bhagavatam is also like that. It refers to spotless discussions about the glories of Krishna and his devotees. At the same time, these particular verses of Srimad Bhagavatam that we get, they're considered directly the Bhagavatam. And they have a very special place. It's described by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. In his commentary on in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, he says that sometimes we may think that Sukadeva Goswami didn't speak the first part of the Bhagavatam. That's spoken by Sutta Goswami to the sages in Naimisharanya. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that actually the entire Bhagavatam, beginning with the very first verse, Janmad Yasya Yataha, to the very last verse in the 12th canto, were all spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. So this particular Bhagavatam that we have, the entire book, from the very first canto to the very last canto, was spoken directly by Sukadev. But other times there's other versions of the Bhagavatam. And we've heard that in the heavenly planets the Bhagavatam is much, much bigger. Just similarly, the Mahabharata is considered to be consisting of 1 million verses in the heavenly planets, but only 100,000 verses here. And according to Sanatana Goswami, the Mahabharata that we read here, there's another Mahabharata which is more directly about Krishna Bhakti. So one way to help us understand this point is that these literatures are not given just for people to study to pass a Bhakti Shastri test.
But
these literatures are meant to be realized. They're the topmost knowledge. Raja Vidya. Therefore they're Raja Guyam, the most confidential. And Pavitamidam Uttamam, they're the most purifying. But how do we understand them? Pratyak Savagamam Dharmyam Sasukam Kartamavyam. They're meant to be realized. And the symptom that you've realized them is that you have ananda, you have ecstasy. We'll speak something more about that when we speak about the speakers of the Bhagavatam. Is it okay, Pujji? Is something else?
Еще один вопрос. В тот момент, когда Парикшит Махарадж ушел на берег Ганги, то там присутствовал и Вьясадев, и Нарада Муни. А почему именно Шукадева с вами рассказывал? Почему не мог рассказать Нарада Муни?
Obviously, because they wanted to hear from Sukadev. Partly because the sages, there are many, many sages present there, and Maharaj Pariksha was asking all of them, what should I do? And some of them were telling him you should do an ashwamedha yagya. Some of them were telling you should read Manasamhita. They were telling him so many different things. And nobody could really agree. Even they weren't accepting Narad Muni and Vyasadeva. Narad Muni is very tricky. Sometimes he goes and acts like he's great friends with the demons. And he tells Kamsa, you know, when the demigods, they're coming in the form of different babies. You should kill all the babies. So not everybody's going to listen to Narad Muni. How can we accept him? And how can Vyasadeva speak? They'll say, this is okay, you're telling this thing, but previously you were telling us Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads and Rig Veda. And it won't be conclusive. Some people will say, this Bhagavatam is okay, but I like the Rig Veda better. But everyone accepted Sukadeva Goswami. They understood that he was a Brahmagyani. He was a liberated soul on the topmost platform, and therefore they accepted hearing from him. Okay. Krishna Kumar. That Srimad Bhagavatam, you can repeat what she said. Oh. So she's saying, you can correct me, that just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he got the sannyas mantra from Kesho Bharati, but before he got it, he gave it to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Kesha Bharati, you know, I had a dream, and in my dream, someone came and gave me this mantra. Listen, I'll tell you what the mantra was. So he told that mantra to Kesha Bharati. And then Kesava Bharati gave it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna Kona is saying that is it something like that, that Sukadeva Goswami first heard the Bhagavatam, which came through Narad Muni, and then he spoke it. Da. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal. It has no beginning, it has no end. Sometimes it's manifest, sometimes it's not manifest. Just as Krishna is. It's not that the Srimad Bhagavatam didn't exist before Sukadeva Goswami. It was always existing. And Sukadeva Goswami heard it from Lord Shiva. And Shiva spoke that to Parvati. But before it was spoken by Shiva to Parvati, it was also existing. Just as Krishna is always existing, Srimad Bhagavatam is also always existing. It's a manifestation of Krishna, just like a very crude example we gave the other day. If you buy a refrigerator, you get a manual that comes along with the refrigerator. So similarly, Krishna is there, and he comes in the form of a book to describe himself. But the example of the refrigerator in the book is not a good example, because that book may be lost or destroyed. The book about the refrigerator. But Srimad Bhagavatam can never be lost. And it's a manifestation of Krishna. Is that okay, Khan? Some other question? Prabhuji? When we instruct someone to read Prabhupada's books, are those books different from the Bhagavatam? That's the question.
I just translated it. I'm not sure what is the question. Что вы имеете в виду?
Иногда просто делается акцент, что книги про Купады, а именно Бхагаватам.
Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to read the Bhagavatam every day. That's Prabhupada's instruction. And we do that as a service. It's not that we read things just to memorize so we can master the book. But we want to serve the Bhagavatam. Prema Maya Bhagavata Krishna Rishriyam. It's an incarnation of Krishna. It's full of Krishna Prema. We'll speak more about that tomorrow. Hadasho? Okay, anything else this day? Mataji? As far as I understand, they could understand, first of all, they'd heard about Sukadeva Goswami. He had a benediction from Krishna that he will be untouched by Maya. And then those ladies weren't disturbed by him. It seems clear that when people were in the presence of Sukadeva Goswami, they could feel something very powerful.
То есть, кажется, что люди присутствуют, чтобы вы с вами чувствовали, что он могущественный рыщи.
Even though he didn't have a Brahmin thread or a rishi hairdo. He didn't have a seeker or neck beads. But they could understand, being in his presence, that he was a great personality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks something about that in Harinam Chintamani. He says that great personalities have a kind of bhakti shakti. And being in their presence, one can get some benefit from that. And that's one reason why we want to associate with devotees. There may be some other answer for your question also. Prabhuji may have a comment, or Mataji, I don't know. Okay? Хорошо? Прабхуджи?
Получается, что читая все Махабхагаваты, мы можем испытывать точно такой же экстаз, как киртане или там при поклонении божества, или читая джапу, учитывая то, что Махабхагаваты один из видов служения выше.
Yes, definitely. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, he describes it that this first verse has so many pastimes of Lalita and Radharani and Krishna. that first verse of the Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami is describing there's pastimes going on in that first verse. Lalita and Radharani and Krishna. When you read that first verse, do you see those pastimes? No. But they're there, Jiva Goswami says. So if we're on the proper platform, we can see that. And we'll speak more about this tomorrow. Okay? All right, anything else to say? Srila Prabhupada ki, Jandara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gopremanande Hari Hari Ho, Vamsa Kalpadarubhischa, Kipasindu Bhivacha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo.
Я слышал, что Бхактивинода Махарадж говорил, что Шукадева Госвами, он был знатоком раз, а Шрила Вьясадева, он до конца не...
Я бы хотел сказать, что Бхактивинода Госвами Махарадж, что это Шукадева был знатоком раз, а Вьясадева был знатоком.
The what?
Shukadeva was an over of Rasa, he knew Rasa, he realized Rasa, but Shiva Vyasadeva didn't.
I've heard like that from some people, and some say because he was Radharani's parrot. But we also know there are at least two Sukadeva Goswamis. The Brahmavivarta Purana describes another Sukadeva Goswami who got married. And he was a Brahmagyani. So, it's not such a simple thing.
What happened? Did he forget Radharani?
My understanding is that that's just a different expansion of Sukadeva Goswami. He's not a devotee. I don't know if he heard the Bhagavatam at all.
Because this means that this Goswami was just a child of Vyasadeva and he didn't
hear the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, okay. Я слышал, что это удобно, что тот, который слышал об этом, где это было громадян.